have watched. Unguided, we have helped them progress. And seen them accomplish wonders. Throughout the years, we have never interfered.
Greetings, listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Story Never Ends, the podcast where we reread our favorite books and watch their adaptations. I'm Audrey.
And I'm Tinashe.
And this episode is a special bonus episode of sorts as we take a detour from our HP or Harry Potter discussions to focus on another film or other films that have been taking our interest recently. So we'll be discussing the recent Marvel Studios release, Eternals, which you might have guessed from the introduction there where we're playing the trailer. So without further ado, let us get into a bit of the discussion of Eternals. I'll let you go off, Tinashe.
You can start.
Well, I mean, just general thoughts, I suppose. Like, I think you already know, what I thought.
I enjoyed it. Honestly, I enjoyed it. I think it was more so the fact that, you know, just getting back into the Marvel universe again.
Yeah.
And just seeing that world again. But for the most part, I did enjoy the movie. Probably not. You didn't enjoy it, we know.
Definitely not. Just my general thoughts, honestly, so that I don't have to get into it all the way through. But I didn't enjoy it. I was left just disappointed at certain bits. I wasn't sure if the result that they got was because of a reason of like studio interruptions or the story writing, because it was definitely not the direction, but there was something about the story itself that just didn't resonate. But I guess we'll get into it.
There were some things that didn't flow as well.
So but I guess in saying that, before we deep dive into it, how much did you know about the world of the Eternals before you?
Honestly, not much. Nothing at all, because I did Google, like, what should I watch before watching Eternals, which I did with the other movies when I watched them. And it had said to watch Guardians of the Galaxy, first one. But then I'm like, I just went to watch it. I didn't even remember the talk about, was this Celestials Sentinel or whatnot? Yeah, I didn't even remember that from Guardians of the Galaxy, so I didn't know anything at all.
That's true.
What about you?
Me, I just knew it because Richard Madden was going to star in it and Kit Harington. I was like, I just thought I understood the general gist of, like, they're like an extra bit of, like, the Marvel world that's not part of always, like, the canon that we've been following in the movies. That's as far as it went. I just didn't really care. I just cared
Did
more about
the... Did you remember them from Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I didn't. No. I just cared because of the actors that were going to be in the story. That's where I was like, oh, what's Eternals? And then I saw that it was a comic book and it was kind of like wacky. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And yeah, that was it.
We are entering into wacky storylines, like especially at the end, like when they're introducing vampires.
Yes.
I'm like, I sit back and I'm like, how is that...
Blade is coming. Blade is coming. They're very much departing from that core Marvel thing, Yatata Jaira, like that we were used to, in terms of it's more true to life. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, yes, we've got the galaxy stuff happening, but those core characters, the Captain America, and their story is now, they've taken a bit of a detour somewhere. So,
like, what is next? Werewolves?
Yeah.
It feels weird.
But for you, was the story compelling enough, did you think? You said you enjoyed it, so...
I enjoyed it. And when I say I enjoyed it, I'm not saying that it didn't have its flaws, but it did have... the storyline was compelling in a way that if they'd done it better, it would have been delivered better. In the film. I could see what they were trying to do. But execution wise, it felt a little bit short.
Because for me, it was like, the story wasn't compelling enough. I think that's why it was boring. Because the thing is, we've already dealt with a big god type with Thanos, and it's like he wasn't a god, but we've already dealt with an evil guy controlling the world, and here comes this apparent god that's been around forever, and then you're telling me these Eternals are just lying there, sitting every even, like you said. The problem is when you try to retcon a story, it becomes really hard to believe, because it's like, so even when Thanos had the plan to wipe out half the planet, which would have affected your god's plan, because your god wanted more people, you didn't like. There was something about that.
They explained that. They said that they did not interfere with the Thanos, with Thanos's plan, because that's not their purpose on Earth. They're not supposed to interfere in human.
But hear me out, Tinashe. That god wanted the Earth to be populated so that he could execute his plan. Thanos wanted to wipe out half of the planet. Why would you not stop Thanos from doing that? So that it could then be... I feel like they tried to explain away the Thanos thing, but I just didn't believe it. I was like, this is just exposition to try to make your story make sense, but it doesn't make sense in the general grand scheme
now
of storytelling.
Now I do wonder how it's explained in the comics, though.
I don't even, is this a comic thing, or is it just like they're taking comic stories, I mean comic characters, and putting them into their own stories?
And just interpreting it in their own way or something.
Yeah, that is true. How do they explain the Eternals being in the comics? That's true. We'll probably have to look into that. But story-wise, whatever. But for you, okay, what about world building? Did you think you were really immersed in the idea of like the Eternals having been old for blah, blah, 7,000 years, all of that stuff? I don't know. All of the weird... zooming around the world that they did.
I would say, right, like some of it was awesome. I didn't particularly like the whatever that all powerful being was or what he looked like. That did not make sense.
Yeah, that was
to me
very
either. Yeah, that did not make sense to me. I actually enjoyed when they were more in the modern era, in the modern type of world, and there were things that you could see that you could relate to, and the flashbacks.
Yeah.
That kind of pulled me out of whatever the flow of the movie.
Yep.
I don't know how they could have done that part. As you say, I think we spoke previously about this, that they should have done it as a, what you call it?
A TV show.
A miniseries or something, or TV show. That's true. As they did with the other Marvel movies. Yeah.
Yep.
But in terms of world building as well, I don't know. not that we're talking more about it, right? I hate the fact that I feel like I might eventually end up agreeing with you.
You don't agree with me. I don't want you to. This is not an argument to agree with me, because I don't want you to agree with me. I want you to definitely bring in the points where I can reflect and be like, did I judge harshly? Because for me, world building goes down to the fact that I was saying these people come from the same planet. I understand we want to have a diverse cast, but why not actually be true to what a world that's like that would be like? Which is, if we're all going to come from England, we're all going to speak in a British accent relatively the same, Anditi. And then at some point, if we then land on Earth and we end up parting ways and going to different parts of the world, then maybe we'll start all speaking in a Black American accent, in an Irish accent, in a Scottish like those things.
I can't
for
help
me.
But agree with that, because that was a bit jarring as well, that everybody was already speaking in a different accent when they were coming from the same
pretty
place.
Much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, pretty yeah. much. Like I was... Yeah, that part. But then going on that, then let's talk about the chemistry of the did you like the characters as a whole and everything?
Okay. I like the chemistry between Druig, that was the guy with the mind powers, and Makari.
I would say they were the best powers. Probably. Yeah,
I think they were the best. Like the fact that, you know, she's communicating in sign language and she's deaf, but she's able to portray that emotion that's with the character and him as well, that the connection between the two.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they wanted us to sense the chemistry between, what's his name?
Icarus.
Stuck.
Yes, Icarus and Cersei. Yeah.
Icarus and... What's Gemma Chan's name?
Cersei.
I don't even know their names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Cersei. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget that. But I honestly didn't sense any chemistry between them.
Exactly. And their story is supposed to be like the all-powerful love story with, what's his name, Kit Harington's character, Dane Whitman or whatever. But might as well have just been like nothing. Like, because he wasn't even, Kit Harington's character was supposed to be part of that story quite a bit more, apparently. Or yeah, should have been, yeah, if the love triangle thing was going to work. Oh, it was just exhausting.
But it feels like he was there at the beginning, well, kind of beginning, and then he just dropped out until towards the end.
Yeah. Let's in saying that as well, I liked Angelina Jolie and that Asian guy's character entity, but I couldn't tell if they just wanted them to be friends or they wanted them to be more. I'm like, can you guys choose?
It was left ambiguous for a reason. Like, I don't know.
I guess so, but I was just like, But in saying that then, let's talk about the whole DC of it all in terms of the Superman references to Icarus, because, I mean, not just the Superman references. He literally was Superman. Like, there's a scene.
Remember the scene when he flies out, when he's trying to kill himself, and then he flies from Earth and he turns back to look at Earth. That
literally, that's from Man of Steel.
That in Man of Steel.
And yeah, the scene where he kills Salma Hayek's character, I'm sorry, people, I'm just referring to them by their actors' names because I don't know their names. But Salma Hayek's character, Ajak? Maybe.
Yes, anyway, Ajak.
Yes. Yeah. So she, when he kills her and then he like does the laser eye thing, freaking, that was done in Superman as well when he kills Zod.
And he's, I like, don't know how that passed production and all that. I'm trying to see if
Chloe Zhao actually said, oh, I was inspired by Zack Snyder, like, for Man of Steel. And she also, and they even, it would have passed production because they had that whole blatant line of saying, oh, is he Superman? And then he's like, no, I'm not Superman or whatever. So are we now saying this universe is in the same universe? Because that makes no sense.
Unless they're heading that way, that
but it makes no sense though.
At some point in time, these universes are gonna collide.
But how?
Because why mention? Why mention?
No, I get that. But how would the universe? Why would there be a Superman in Avengers?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chloe. Great director, writer, whoever wrote. Great writer, I'm sure. But something was fishy there. I don't understand what was going on. So, in the pacing, what did you think about the story going? Was it fast moving? Was it just, you know? Was it?
Definitely, at the beginning, it was slow. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to a point where I was still saying, what is this story about?
Yep.
What
yep.
is happening in this story? Like, as you said, like, it should have been like a miniseries that would have the intro somehow in the beginning parts, or maybe they'll start with the them being in the future and then we'll go back to the flashbacks somehow. But the pacing was slow for me, especially I started enjoying it more, as I said, when we're in the future and I could kind of understand where everybody was.
That's true. Yeah, I think you're right. I think for me, it hit the ground. Like, the story actually started moving when they were all now going to find, what's his name? The Indian guy.
Druig.
No. Just before that, they go to Kling. What's his name? You see, you can't even remember him. The Indian guy. Indian actor. Yes.
I cannot remember his name.
Me too right now. Like a blank. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. Anyway, him. Oh, Kumail Nanjiani. Something like that. Anyway, that's the one. His character, when they go to meet him in Bollywood, then they go to meet Druig.
Yes.
Then they go to, no, do they go to meet Angelina Jolie's character? Then they go to meet Druig. Yes. That sequence, I enjoyed that. That was quite fast moving because there was a lot happening. That's where they do the reunion on the table and they're all joking, you know, whatever, whatever. That was a good sequence. But flip side of that and flip side of that, I really, there was nothing that just like grabbed my attention. Kind of,
back to the world building part, I also like the fact that the creatures, what were the creatures' names?
Which ones? The Sentinels and Celestials and...
Sentinels were the ones that looked a little bit like Venom.
Or were they Sentinels?
Were they Sentinels? What were the creatures' names?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't remember. Like, it's literally like...
creatures in Eternals.
Literally Googling.
Deviants,
yes.
Yeah. I actually like the idea that the Deviants and the Celestials, I hope I'm using, or the Eternals, were the creations of this
Aramesh guy.
Aramesh guy, yeah. And that's where the kind of the conflict between them.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one of them starts wanting to kill the... Oh, God. Oh, my God. When that bit, like that deviant at the end with the face looking thing and he's like absorbing their powers.
Yes.
I've never seen such a ripoff of like freaking... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Isn't that design of like that type of a villain is like a ripoff of most... alien looking weird things, like, as in not a ripoff in a bad way, but I think it's just a common design that like when it was introduced as like being a bigger villain than it needed to be, I was like, that just doesn't...
They actually didn't turn up to be bigger villains, honestly. At some point in time I thought maybe they would join the Eternals, and
it was a weird and then what do you think?
I like that design anyway, in terms of creatures and it's stuff just, like that. Yeah.
And what did you think about the whole Icarus and that? What's the little girl's name? Or she's supposed to be a little girl? Something. She starts with S. Her.
Streak?
I don't Strider? Think so.
Something. Strider. I'm now in Lord of the Rings.
No, not Strider. But either way, what did you think about that?
Sprite. Was
that Sprite? Yes. Was that like a? Because when she actually turned against them, I was like, wait, what? Where did that come from? Like,
I honestly thought that she was going to get to wherever they were going to go and she was going to betray him.
That's what I thought too. And then it turned out to not be that. And I was like, this is so disappointing of a story, whatever. Like,
And then at the end, they just accept her back into the fold, just like that.
You see, that's why it needed a miniseries length, so they could have a whole episode where that develops or eventuates and then...
I enjoyed more for the fact that, you know, I feel like I have to defend it. More for the fact that I could see what the potential of this movie could have been.
Potential. Yeah. That's the problem. We've already produced the movie. Because this now, let's wrap up. Leading to this, how do you think then this fits into the rest of the Marvels? Like, is it phase four they're going into? And would you be coming back for part two? Because if it's potential, just like how... I say Fantastic Beasts was a good movie, but then Crimes of Grindelwald came along and that had potential, but it just threw a lot of people off. I don't even know how many people are going to come back for part three. So it's like, do you just say, do we accept, okay, it's good potential, there might be better in part two, or it's just good potential that will probably never be able to be capitalized because already part one was just like, ugh. Kind of thing, like to me anyway. Not
I
saying
feel like
for everybody.
A lot of recasting needs to be done. I'm sorry to whoever likes Harry Styles, but when I saw
I forgot to mention that.
Yes. What the hell?
But did you see him in Dunkirk?
No.
Okay. Perhaps that's why Harry a lot of Styles. People. I can honestly say this. I wasn't so much shocked that it was Harry Styles because Harry Styles was in Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan's film. He was actually quite good. I have to say, he actually played like a, not complex, but just relatively not good guy or bad guy. Just sort of a guy that was trying to survive and was trying, because Dunkirk, for those that don't know, it's pretty much set when a time when there was the British forces on the beach of Dunkirk or bank of Dunkirk, whatever, trying to evacuate their soldiers as quickly as possible because the Germans were like coming in, attacking them. So they had no choice, either go into the water and die or... pretty much die by the bullet of the Germans. So the soldiers were trying their very best, level best, to get off the boats, I mean, to get off the shore, but there were not enough boats. So the boats that were coming in as reinforcements were going to take long, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, Harry Styles' character and the main guy, they all don't have names. They're just sort of like characters you meet. He's so desperate in that movie. He's like doing anything he can to survive. He's like turncoating, even, not turncoating. He's like sort of trying to... just find a way to survive. So I remember I wasn't like, oh my God, Harry Styles is such a great actor, but I was still like, he has potential. So I do understand people's hesitancy because he's such a big pop icon. So it's like, ugh.
Yes.
But to be honest with you, from what I base it off Dunkirk, whatever this character would be, could be good if Harry Styles leans into whatever he brought in Dunkirk and runs with it. But I definitely know it was a bit jarring to be like, Harry Styles, what the hell?
Yes.
So yes, I do understand. So would you be coming back for part two?
Into phase four. Yeah. In phase four, you said. Yes, I think, as I said, I think it's got potential. And I feel like maybe they need to go back to the drawing board to rethink how they're going to tell the story with the Eternals and how they're going to fit into the rest of the Marvel Universe. And as we said, like, I actually thought at the end, the voice that speaks to Jon Snow's character was Doctor Strange. It wasn't until I went back home and I Googled and saw that it was actually
Aishla Ali. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I really don't know how they're gonna input vampires into the storyline, as it still sounds weird to me, because we're dealing with superheroes and then we're dealing with
the supernatural too.
Yeah, but not that supernatural or fantastical. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. We're just gonna, because I suppose it's like how DC sometimes leans into the Constantine character, like how he's like a demon slayer, whatever, or whatever.
Yeah.
So perhaps they can find a way. I trust the writers. Because Marvel,
like, is it gonna translate well to especially people who don't watch or read any Marvel comics?
That's
or
true. Marvel That's movies? True. Because the original Blade, I don't know how it's gonna fit in, but I hope that if this potential that you saw has any legs to grow, then it will potential. No, because I get you, it does. It mind you, I'm not saying I hated this movie. I just was a bit disappointed that I went in, I think, just expecting a good experience, a general Marvel experience, and I was like, it's just too much. That's another thing I don't like, when people shoehorn in representation, shoehorn in diversity, shoehorn in inclusion. Just let it be organic. Like, for example, the not too ruffle any feathers, I'm not even going to speak exactly the incident, just in case people come and be like, what are you talking about? But what's his name? The inventor guy. The black actor. His name is Tyree Henry something, whatever.
Yeah.
Him. His characterization, I get what they were trying to do. But I remember my friend raising a very good point, which was, this is a guy that's been around civilization for so long. Why wouldn't they have a scene, or just one or two scenes, for them to explain, to be like, this is why he decided to settle for this particular, like, family structure or whatever. And is it, because he's already been around for so long, he would have been with other people of different race and whatever. If you think about it, like, he would have been exposed to a lot of that. And is it, so in this scene, they're like, okay, he wants to now save his family. But then he was also disappointed in humanity before whatever happened with that. So what was the compelling reason that he had to be with this character, if not for the fact that they just wanted to have representation or diversity?
That's what we've been saying, that they needed more time, not in movieverse, but they needed more time to flesh out these characters a bit more. That's why you probably feel a bit disconnected from them as well.
Because I loved his family. I was like, oh my god, for the first time we're actually getting this in like a superhero movie, this is great. But why? Because you just literally said a scene ago, the guy was crying, going, oh, humanity is this. How could I let them have this technology? But now he's like, I want to save my family, like, and save them for Earth, which will be destroyed as well. Like, it just,
like, think about the other Marvel movies, like the way they did Iron Man. They had an origin story. And then through Iron Man 2, 3, you already know who Tony Stark is.
Yes.
That by the time you meet him in other, like in Avengers or Civil War, that's and true. Stuff like that.
That's true.
His character has already been built. Same with Captain America. Origin story. This didn't feel like an origin story. Like, they tried to make it an origin story, but it was too disjointed and too quickly to get you to want to feel something for these characters.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't been with these characters long enough. For example, Icarus driving himself into the sun.
Very much felt
some type of way about that, but I was like,
exactly.
Them being captured by Aramush or whatever at the end, again.
Exactly. I was just like, what's going on? Yes. But anyway, I think, you know, we can wrap it up because we will keep talking about this and talk about this, but I, like you, I will be coming back for part two because I love this superhero movie. So I will be coming back for part two. But I just hope in part two, they listen to people. What I don't like is people saying, oh, you guys hate it because it had this. No. It wasn't a good story. I could have a movie. There are so many movies that we watch now that have representation, that have inclusion, that have everything. That camp, I'm not with that camp. I'm not with the camp that's like, I'm against it because no, I'm definitely not. Because obviously I want to see more black people. I want to see more, you know, like, gay relationships. I want to see more women. I want to see more you know, characters with like a disability or anything like that. I want to see more of that. But I don't want you to give it to me in a way that says, here you go, this is what it is now. No, give it to me in an organic way, because that's just what it is, an organic thing. Yeah. But anyway, that's enough. So I don't know what your last thoughts on that are, because those are my last thoughts.
Lastly, honestly, I don't know what my, I think I said this to you before, but I don't know the people in my cinema, if they watched Game of Thrones or anything, but whenever that, when Joseph's character was like, I love you, Cersei, I cackled.
Very true. Very
no one else laughed in the audience. And I'm like, don't you watch Game of Thrones? How weird is that?
The whole funny thing for me was, definitely Kit Harington, Richard Madden being in the same movie and having to associate with the character called Cersei.
When they meet.
Exactly. Ah, God. He's the ex-boyfriend or something? Or he's the something?
I can't remember, but anyway. I was just humming the Game of Thrones theme song.
Well, I guess that's it, guys, for this mini little discussion on Eternals. We'll be back with some more film discussion in, I guess, just a moment for you guys. Yeah, I don't know. So nothing else, Tinashe? We just wrap up here?
That's all from me.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, you catch us next time for the further discussions on other movies that interest us.